New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in. It is another Victory Monday. The Denver Broncos end the skid against the Las Vegas Raiders, snapping an 8-game-in-a-row losing streak, dominating the Raiders. Maybe the final score a little closer than the actual results indicate, but 34-18, Denver wins one that the first quarter looked like it was going the other way, and then a game-defining, team-defining play. Patrick Surtain picks one off and returns it 100 yards, looking good in the old-school uniforms, rocking the old-school hoodie today as well. Best, honestly, I'm biased, but I can't think of a uniform that I like more in professional sports than that old-school Broncos one. Look good, feel good. Broncos win 3 in a row. We're high in Mile High. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. It's two Florida Gators for me with the powder on there. So, you know, being an SEC guy with the Auburn, no, but as far as the professional goes, because it goes the other way with me too, because I like red and black, even though that's Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, with the retros in line. Basically,
beautiful.
I'm kind of like the Croods in this. If it's new, it's bad. No. Yeah. The old stuff is so much better. It was more defining instead of all just kind of blended together with swooshes and stripes, and it was you knew who you were playing out there. You know, the old creamsicle orange instead of, wait, is that San Francisco in the pewter helmets or and red logos? So yeah, I'm with you on that for sure.
Just more character. We don't have to obviously spend too much time on that, but just it felt right. And also, I saw this on Twitter, but with the HD cameras and photos, like we've seen the ones in the olden day, they look good, but now we have the better equipment and like, oh my God, they are beautiful. Everybody killed it this week with the throwbacks. And the Broncos
doesn't work so good when you get older though. Oh my God.
Yeah. Turn down the lights. Keeping the lights on for us though. Troy Brewer comes in and says, love winning games while Knicks gets experience and more comfortable. Surtain and Moss, wow. Team plays hard, easy to root for them. Yeah, thank you so much. Easy to root for Troy, as Troy roots for us. Thank you so much for the super chat, Troy. We appreciate you coming in. Mark Schrader as well. You guys getting the super chats in before the show even kicks off. He says, good morning with the coffee. As you can tell, I have a cold still. If you guys listen to us for the Falcons show Friday night, it was starting, and I am full of snot now, but we're here. I could not miss a Victory Monday. They've been so hard to come by since we've been doing the show, Scott, that everyone needs to be cherished. Got a little bit spoiled during the Peyton Manning era, even the Mike Shanahan days, but loving them right now, and wasn't going to miss this. We got Christopher RB coming in with $20. Christopher, God bless you, man. This is a relatively new name for me for the morning show, so thank you so much for coming in and really supporting the show. He says, listen to Coward and Middlecoff. They are starting to figure out George Payton knows how to scout, Sean knows how to coach, and we got the richest owners equals dangerous. Go Broncos, no fly zone 2.0. I won't dub them the no fly zone 2.0 just because it's like comparing prospects to legendary players, right? You have to do it over and over and over and over again at very high levels. But this is a top five defense in the NFL through five games, Scott, and it is one of the biggest shocks of the entire season for me. I did not expect this from the Broncos this season. On paper, they don't have a lot of high contract guys on that defense. They only have one first round pick on that defense. Vance Joseph, from what we've seen historically, he's been good as a defensive coordinator, but not like mind meltingly good. Man, what a turnaround. What a turnaround a year makes, right? The Broncos defense, the first 5 weeks last year, horrible. couldn't stop block the sun out of their eyes. This year, well, killing it.
I heard something yesterday. I usually listen to the Broncos radio's broadcast. Very rarely do I get the Broncos on TV and hear their home calls. Because usually if the Broncos are on nationally and I'm watching them and I get the national radio calls, they do a fantastic job on radio. And one of the things that they said when the Raiders went down and scored, that was the first opening drive touchdown the Broncos had allowed since the Miami game.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah, I was like, whoa, yeah, wow, exactly. That's been 17, 18 games now. That's the first opening drive touchdown they'd allowed. So while we were all skeptical, you know, Vance Joseph's coming back, and then we all had our confirmation bias affirmed in the first little bits of the season last year, especially with that, I'm like, okay, you're going to have to make changes. And I'm slow to hire, quick to fire type. Well, obviously you're not, and good for you for sticking by this guy, because this defense is wildly outperforming expectations.
I mean, they have to be the highest ROI of any defense in football because, again, we mentioned it, this team has so much dead cap. They have spent way more premium resources that they've had available because they don't have a lot with the Russell Wilson trade and then dead cap hit now. They spent way more on the offense, right? For the higher picks have been on offense, the offensive line contracts as well. Like, you brought in John Franklin Myers. You're not paying a lot for him. What'd you give up? A 6th-round pick. You didn't pay Cody Barton a lot. You have a 3rd-round pick in Riley Moss, an undrafted free agent McMillan. You paid Brandon Jones to come in at safety. You did pay him, but the safety market is so deflated right now. You're taking less money, moving on from Simmons and bringing in Jones.
It was like $7 million.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing, and I won't call them scrap heap or anything like that. It's not that. You're still like, it was smart, precise signings filling out the defense. They identified the defensive line as needing turnover there. You find a guy like Jackson. You bring in Roach. You trade for John Franklin Myers. And just the development of the guys you already have on the roster. So it has been, it's almost hard to believe, Scott, because I'm very much a Jimmy's and Joe's versus X's and O's guys. I don't think like Vance Joseph is like doing anything crazy right now defensively scheming. You know, they blitzed a lot less in this game, but just the fundamentals that this team has had, the way they're playing, it is every single guy. I mean, we talked about it. I've said this multiple times, Scott, but having this team with so many question marks, you had to roll a Yahtzee over and over again to really fill out the roster and be like super competitive this year to the point where, you know, contending for AFC West or anything. Haven't gotten that as much on offense so far, but defense, I mean, Justin Strnad yesterday, all over the field. I mean, making tackles in the backfield, reading plays great. I'm not saying, you know, future superstar linebacker or anything, but a guy who hasn't started at linebacker since 2021 out there making good positive plays in the run and pass. I mean, hats off to the players, the coaches. Obviously this season you have Sean Payton here, offense sells, rookie quarterback, all that stuff. But I think you cannot talk about this team without spending a majority of the time talking about the defense.
Yeah, and Christopher, thanks for coming in. I feel like it was the first time I recognized your name was recently, and thank you for coming to the morning shows and supporting us as well. Yeah, lots to want to hit. Is this Ian? I mean, it looks like Ian. I've just never seen it spelled like that. So Ian Levin says, nothing quite like a victory Monday. 3 in a row. When Knicks and Franklin start clicking, it's going to be a thing of beauty. Hashtag Bo knows. Hashtag Knicks for 6. Hashtag Broncos country. And hashtag Bo leave.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about, I know Bo Nix had his second worst QBR, one of the worst QBRs of the league this week. Granted, I don't know their exact formula, but I thought the first half was poor from Knicks. It's not all on Knicks, but he wasn't great. But the second half, he did enough, and they played complimentary football, and that's really all we were asking for. The bar is not up here. I'm not expecting him to be CJ Stroud, but it was enough this week, without a doubt, and enough to be continuing this train. I think that's the big thing. He's okay, good. We are checking a box here. On to the next one. Miguel coming in here says, good morning, fellas. So happy for that dub. Do you think since Ferris Bueller got into with a coach, the playbook will open up since he likes to do his own thing? Go Broncos. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, Scott, after the press conference, after game post-game press conference with Sean Payton. he said that Bo Nix has a little bit of Ferris Bueller in him. Yeah. And I kind of went a little bit into that. It's my interpretation was that he kind of does his own thing sometimes, goes a little too off script, and they need to rein it in a little bit. I don't, it was following the should have been touchdown to Troy Franklin. I don't know if there was something there a little bit more controlling the flow of game that should have been the option there. Maybe somebody that was open, instead Nix went for the kill shot. I don't mind being aggressive there, you know, stepping on the throats, but we'll see it. I think both Nix and Peyton kind of laughed about it. They're both intense competitors, and there must be a level of comfort there between both of them if they can get in each other's face like that.
It was very different, Peyton's response to the same question last year when he got after Russell Wilson. And I think the
game, right?
I think that it was also a win versus a loss. I don't remember for sure.
I think it was the Lions game.
Okay. That sounds right. That makes a difference also, but it was like, you know, that's my love language. You know, you in the heat of the moment, you're going to yell, try and listen to what people are saying, not how they're saying it in this case. And then let's all be friends after the fact that it happens. And he's like, no. He's like, well, what did you tell him? He's like, it's still none of your business. But last year was just none of your business what I say to my quarterback. And it was very, you know, there's a lot of animosity there with the press. This time it was like, no, because he started to say it. Here, I'll just play the clip. But you could see he started to reference last year. It's like, this happened last year and you guys made a big deal out of it. But he cut himself off. And then it was just like, listen, this happens. Let me make sure I've got this. Yeah, I've got it right here at the very beginning.
How would you characterize the conversation you had with Bo after the miss fired in the end zone to Franklin? And I've seen you have these conversations.
It's part of the deal. Listen, last year, all of a sudden, there's still a little bit of Ferris Bueller in this player that we got to get rid of. All right, talking about Bo, and I love him to death. And so sometimes it's my love language. All right.
Can you say what it was about?
No, absolutely not.
He was asked if he'd let you know. What would you tell? You going to let you know what that conversation was about? He's like, no, I'm not. And that's none of your business. But it was much more friendly, which happens after a win, which happens after three wins in a row. And yeah, the relationship there is definitely better between Bo Nix and Sean Payton than it ever was and probably was ever going to be with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
You know whose relationship's good with us? Naj. Naj, hope you're doing well. Last time I saw you, we were sitting on a bed together in a hotel room. What? No, obviously, Naj joined us after the meet and greet to talk for the Broncos recap against their last loss against the Steelers. So just wanted to lead in with that. Good to see you, Naj. One of the good ones. Always appreciate you. He says, hey, brothers, this is the first time in years I feel like we have a team that punches back when getting hit with adversity. I think it's the youth and hunger of those guys on a short-term deals looking to make a statement. Definitely does feel like a team that has an us-against-the-world mentality. Feels like they have a very good base with them. They're all kind of pulling in the same direction. And the vibes are good. The vibes are good right now. They're really good when you're winning football games. And again, the uniforms, the retro, the celebrating the alumni in this game, and defeating a divisional opponent that the score is much closer than the game indicates. I mean, Scott, I don't know if you saw, obviously the first play, it looked like PJ Locke fell down, could have been pass interference, and then Brock Bowers runs for a touchdown. That's first big touchdown I can think of the Broncos giving up this season like that. The next drive, the Raiders march down the field. They get a field goal. The next drive, they march down the field, and then you have the pick six. Those first three drives, Scott, let me see if I can find it here. 70 yards given up, 68 yards given up, 64 yards given up. Those first three drives, not looking very good right now. The offense is struggling. The defense has given up yard after yard. After that, the net yards given up until the Raiders' scoring drive when Denver essentially went into a prevent defense. 2 yards given up, 8 yards given up, 4 yards given up, 4 yards given up, 10 yards given up, negative 6 yards given up, 0 yards given up. That interception completely changed the game. I mean, there's just night and day difference from then on out. The offense did a good job extending drives, controlling the football. But what a momentum change. After that, the Raiders couldn't do anything on offense.
Naj brings this up because I agree with him, and I'm going to pile on here because, Nick, if you had asked me what was your main takeaway from this game, my main takeaway was mental toughness and the difference between the two franchises. Like Naj said, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when you and I first started covering this team, the Raiders blow out the Broncos. They go in their little shell. They give up. They quit. They're done. This team fights. The mentality of this team, this is a mentally tough team that will fight for 60 minutes. And good things happen when you do that, especially when your best player makes the play of the game. The Raiders are a disaster. They got off their front running. 10 to nothing. Okay, 10-3. It's about to be 17-3. And Minshew misses an open receiver and it goes over his head and it's gone. Game's over. The game was over right there. That team folded. This team rose. The Raiders are a fragile, mentally weak team right now. They're the disaster of an organization. If you get them down, they will stay down. Can't say that about the Denver Broncos right now. And that's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, they're just really shocking to see Denver so tough. And the defense, again, I just can't. The off playing complimentary football, special teams as well. A few plays here and there, special teams wise. But I mean, Marvin Mims, a couple great returns in this one, flipping field position. It was good all around. Not great. The first quarter had some issues. Obviously, he gave up all those drives until those interceptions, and the offense was, I think, three and out of the gate, if I recall. But that's why you have it's a war out there, right? Every possession is a battle, but it's a war, and Denver won that war. Michael comes in and says, "Good morning, Nick and Scott. I'm Broncos for breakfast. Go Bo Broncos." Phil coming in says, "Good morning, Nick. Good to see you." We got Phil also say, "Good morning, Nick and Deacon Scott. Had to travel to Dublin to catch Broncos for breakfast. Top of the morning to you, buddy. Hope you're enjoying a Guinness. How many game balls do you think go to the D? Did Nick's actually throw to 11 different receivers?" Yeah, I think it was a franchise record, 11 receivers. We had Greg Dulcich inactive for Adam Kroll, who at least brings something as a blocker. Not great, but something, rather than a glorified slow receiver, which Dulcich is at this point.
The Broncos have been so bad at tight end that Nick just combined them.
I did? I mean,
yeah, Adam Kroll.
Lucas Kroll.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's kind of been the same guy out there.
Yep. I thought Troutman had an okay game, honestly. But he's a useful piece. You don't love him to be your number one. But yeah, thank you so much, Phil. Great to see you. We got Peter coming in. Says, "Sup, guys. How about us moving off Landau 2 years in a row and we've been much healthier? Any correlation?" I think the sample size is still too small. I think you need like years and years of data. And unfortunately, Peter talked about it a lot entering the season. But last year, Denver had an anomaly of offensive line health. Right now, it looks like we could be heading into this Chargers game, Scott. Backup center, fourth string right tackle. That's not ideal. I guess your fourth offensive tackle, not fourth string right tackle. But Palchetsky, high ankle sprain, going to miss some time. Haven't heard anything else from Wattenberg other than it was an ankle injury. Keep checking that. Haven't heard anything. We might have to wait until Wednesday for that. Luckily, Bulls went out and came back in. But you're starting to see some injuries pile up on the offensive line, and that could be bad for a Chargers team that's still looks pretty salty on defense.
Peter, I will say I've seen enough of a sample size and to know that the Broncos were like dead last DFL 4 years in a row in injuries. That was enough of a sample size to me to see when you go from dead last 4 years in a row to first the next year, yeah, solved a problem. Now, will you be first every year? Probably not. You should bounce around. There should be some fluctuation. When you're DFL 4 years in a row, you got a problem.
Yeah. Again, there's just so much fluctuation.
There wasn't any though, Nick. That's my point. There wasn't any fluctuation.
They were bad a lot. I don't know. I think it's a violent sport. I guess when you are last place over and over again, I'd have to look at what it looks like league-wide.
It was like 4 years in a row, Nick.
Yeah.
The Broncos were last in games missed.
They were bad. Who was that? DVOA, who put that out? Football Outsiders? I don't recall. But they were injured a lot, and were they number one last year? I know the offensive line was third, but I don't know if they're number one overall.
Yeah, I think they were number one I think they were number one in games missed last year after being last like 4 years in a row. So will you be number one every year? No. And you shouldn't be. There should be some fluctuation. When there's not, because you're last, you're never going to be first all the time. I mean, you've seen guys blow Achilles from running out onto a field. There's freak accidents that happen. It is a violent sport, and there should be some fluctuation. There should be some luck involved. But when you're last 4 years in a row, when you were never last the 10 years before that, there was a problem.
Yeah. James Todd coming in $10, man. You guys are killing it with the super chats today. Says, really wish Troy Franklin would have come down with the long ball. Nick should have had 4-touchdown game. But love that Nick's didn't back down. He got some fired him, and this team needs that. Yeah, Nick's after the game said he overthrew it a little bit. Maybe put a little bit more air under it. I don't know. Get rid of it a little sooner. But I like the aggressiveness. That's a punch. That's a club that you need to have in your bag. So now it's out there on tape. Also showing that, you know, you better watch out for that. It was a miscommunication from the Raiders then, but it was too bad they didn't take advantage of it. But yeah, overall, Knicks had a good game. I know his QBR was poor overall still, but I didn't think it was horrific. I mean, most of his passes came within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. He had a touchdown that was McLaughlin and the blockers doing most of the work, but still, that counts the same. I mean, how many plays have Patrick Mahomes had touchdowns behind the line of scrimmage, right? They don't put an asterisk next to those ones when you look at the overall sample. I will say in the first quarter, first half, it wasn't great from Knicks. He was hitting the back of his drop back and, you know, patting the ball, kind of bouncing up and down rather than getting the ball out. Also, there was a drive where he took a sack that was on him that took the Broncos out of field goal range. It was the one where they were in field goal range and then they end up somehow like 3rd and 38 after a few penalties and stuff. And Knicks did not help with that at all. You got to come away with points there after being in field goal range. But overall, I think this was his first or second best performance overall, and it was what I'm expecting and looking for. If you can, you know, keep games looking like this from Knicks, he should ride it out without a doubt and get next season, and Broncos fans and Broncos country should be optimistic. Is he going to be a superstar quarterback? Maybe. But that is enough competency where you keep that ball rolling, and that's all I'm looking for this season.
Well, I think he's doing really well, especially we talk about the weapons around him. Did we get James on this, or we skip over him? Because we got James, right?
I just got James.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, I'm getting Coach and Coach Chris, who's coming up, and James confused. I want to make sure. We start getting a little bit more explosion in the weapons there. You know, we talked about Mims. You know, Mims is in there on a jet sweep. Well, if I see Mims, I'm guarding the jet sweep. They did. And it could have been a 10-yard loss, but Mims made a guy miss and goes for a first down instead. That's the kind of explosion you want to see in different scenarios where it's not quite so obvious. So, yeah, are the Broncos a finished product? No, of course not. This is the building stage. For me, the next building stage is wide receiver. That's the number one need. How do I make this team better right now? Like in a draft pick, where could I pick and I could get a plus player and plug him in right now? Wide receiver. And that's coming. It'll be, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing it too. These guys are playing really well. Little Jordan Humphrey's having a revival. Cortland Sutton is still just good. And I don't mean like just as in like he's only just okay good. No, I mean he's like good. What can you expect from Cortland Sutton? You can expect good. The man is just good. All he does is make plays. He's good. Lawrence Cummings says, did you guys see Max Crosby stand up and say, yell louder, Bo, the don't know what's happening? No, I didn't see that. I don't.
There's a mic on the center or somebody near the ball, and you saw Max Crosby stand up when Bo was trying to talk to his team, and he said, speak up, Bo, they can't hear you. So just Max talking, you know, G-level, you know, crap. It's fun. It's all good.
Max has a good time playing football.
Yeah.
Like he enjoys playing the game.
Yep, and he had a good game. He had a good game. Coach Chris says, morning, you know what's crazy? This team is young and getting better each week. Can't wait to see what happens towards the end of the year next year with a boatload of cap space and draft picks could turn us into contenders. It's going to come down to Bo Nix. Defenses fluctuate a lot year to year historically. Will Vance Joseph be back? I mean, who knows? There's so much to happen between now and then, but you got to love the trajectory without a doubt, and also love the trajectory of Coach Chris coming in twice with two $20 super chats saying, what I'm seeing with each passing week is the playbook opening up. Yesterday, we started to spread the field. I think we had 11 different receivers there, not 10, Coach Chris. That will help the run game. Yeah, the run game was okay. In this one, you had some good runs from – they were like sustained drive ones at the end where you're like, they know you needed to run, and you were able to run. Those are hard situations to do that, and it was good. The efficiency wasn't great overall. Like, if you're looking at the team stats, the Raiders had more – efficiency rushing the football, 4.6 yards per carry to the Broncos, 3.9. But Denver did enough there. They win the turnover battle. I mean, that's can't be overstated enough. That's the turnover battle. And also the red zone efficiency, Scott. That was one stat here that I had to talk about before we get on, before we close today. Where do I have it? Red zone. Broncos go 3-for-4 in the red zone and 3-for-3 in goal to go. Raiders 1-for-2. So that might be part of the difference in the game too. Defense put the clamps on after those first three drives, but going 3-for-3 in goal to go, getting touchdowns, not field goals. That's putting teams away because it's hard to get down there. You need to come away with 7. Denver did.
And that's what I was going to say about the running game and the efficiency. It was boot on the neck running game is what it was. It was put it away, put the game away, running the game. And here's a problem I have with analytics. I'm a math guy. I fully appreciate analytics. I fully appreciate stats, probability, and all that type of stuff. But the problem with analytics and how it applies to games is the games are played by human beings, and human beings are overly emotional creatures. It removes the emotion. That's good sometimes for decision-making, but it doesn't take into account the effect of that decision. Javonte Williams may not have been all that efficient according to the analytics, but the man was trucking people. He was absolutely running like a wild Bronco, and he was impassioning everyone around him. When he started trucking people, everybody else got a little bit harder to tackle. And I wrote down, you know, in the notes here, Javonte Williams breaking tackles, and it becomes contagious. That doesn't show up in analytics. That doesn't show up in your efficiency numbers. That's passion. Passion helps win football games, and it doesn't show up in spreadsheets. And Javonte Williams brought that to the Denver Broncos the way he ran the ball yesterday.
Yeah, there was a toughness on the Broncos offense overall. I mean, you mentioned Javonte Williams breaking tackles. Jaleel McLaughlin, small frame, had some really tough runs as well. And then you had little Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims, Cortland Sutton fighting for yards, getting first downs. I mean, little Jordan Humphrey's jersey ripped, right? There was one where they grabbed him and he just kept going close to a touchdown there. So Javonte Williams looks back as far as, I don't know if we'll ever get the rookie year Javonte Williams with the tackle breaking, but he's been more decisive. He looks a little bit more explosive north and south, making the first guy miss, something that had been missing last year and up to last week this year. But he's a key factor for this team going forward. Now that you have offensive line injuries, you're going to have to be able to run the ball to take some pressure off Bo Nix. And that's been a big difference in the Broncos' better offensive performances has been the rushing game. Not a lot in third and longs. Now, granted, you had the third and 38 or whatever that was. That kind of nukes your average to go third and long. But yeah, Williams, really important piece to this offense and a huge part of putting this game out of reach. When the Raiders were playing keep up and they knew you were going to run the football, Broncos were able to run in adverse fronts and still get it done. So that's enough.
Yeah, David Youngkin says PS2 sent the Raiders quarterback to the bench and he sent the Raiders home is what he did. This is a when you've got a team that's got this much turmoil around it, if they get up, they can become dangerous. But if any adversity, they're going to fold. What is it? What's the phrase? Like a cheap suit? They're gonna fold. And that's the Raiders right now. You can't let them get on top of you. And they were on top of you, and they were about to go up 17-3, and you had a problem. You had a problem at that point. Can this team get down 2 touchdowns and throw its way back into the game? We don't know that yet. We haven't seen it yet. Can they front run and then strangle you with this defense? Yeah, they can. And I think Sean Payton had I don't know how true it is, but I have no reason to not believe him. With a defensive score, you win 80% of the time. I mean, it ended the game. It doesn't always have that quick and that dramatic of a turnaround, but the way the Raiders are set up right now and the way the Denver Broncos believe, it wasn't just a game changer. It was a game ender. The game was over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, just Sertan might be the best. I know that Albert Breer has said multiple times, he started it last week and he said it again this week, nobody might be playing their singular position better than Sertan is playing cornerback right now. He's not the most valuable player in the league, but he might be, like, if you were doing Madden ratings, he might be the only 99 compared to his peers. So he's been killing it. And I think we're ready for the Sertan defensive player of the year. Now that he has the picks, the pick six there as well, we'll see if it can continue. Defense can be volatile, but really good from him. He reached a speed of 20 miles per hour on that pick six, the best from a interception this season. And also a great stat here from Nate Tice, who I think does a great job. I think he's over at the Ringer now. Bowers was the only thing on that Raiders offense that was really functional. They have a building block piece there, so that's unfortunate. He looks like a good hit for them. But Bowers versus the non-Sertan Broncos defenders. He had 7 targets, 6 receptions, and 84 yards. Granted, a lot of that coming on one play, but still efficient. But against Sertan, where Sertan was the nearest defender, 2 targets, 2 interceptions. Sertan, let's talk about, I mean, he's a unit-defining player. They're not able to do what they can right now defensively without Sertan. It's not just him, though. Moss stepping up, McMillan stepping up. Defensive line getting pressure with 4 Scott. Haven't seen that consistently this season. They did it this week. But Sertan's been incredible, and we need to start banging that defensive player of the year drum. He's different.
You keep saying it, sticking around in the top 5, and you will. And Troy, so I'm seeing some spunk and attitude in the Broncos now. I think we're done being pushovers.
Sorry about that.
And we'll punch back. And I noticed this last year of Vic Fangio's first year. This is our 4th season together, Nick. And Vic Fangio's first year was my first year covering this team. And that was 2021. Yeah, you started off 3-0. And it was against Baltimore. You came out against New York and won. Jacksonville won, New York and won. It's like, okay, the other New York. You beat both New Yorks. Now you're about to go against the NFC, the AFC North in their kind of their heyday against Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Cleveland in there. And it was in that stretch, I'm pretty sure, even though you're 3-3, I started calling Vic Fangio a dead man walking. How quickly did that happen the next year in 2022 with Nate Hackett? It was Seattle, then you beat Houston, you beat San Francisco in an ugly game, you lose to Vegas, lose to the Colts in what was even a worse game, lose at Chargers, and then lose to New York. And it was like, okay, this team's already done. They're already packing it in. And this is kind of a long way to getting to the last year. 0-3 start. Here we go again. But you play the Bears in Chicago, and you get down big to Justin Fields and the Bears. And I said, this team, they fought back. And that's where it got me that Sean Payton, and it's where it started for me, that this team has buy-in. This team has not quit on Sean Payton since he started. And that, to me, has been one of the biggest differences since I've been covering this team, is these guys play hard for Sean Payton. Sorry, that was a long way to get to that point. But, I agree with you.
Building a foundation. This isn't, I mean, we'll see what happens. But very not probable to be a Super Bowl team. But it's a team that it feels like it has direction building, and slowly but surely building that foundation with tough, smart football players playing football the right way. I mean, just from a operational perspective. And that's one reason that Denver traded a first round pick and paid all the money for Peyton and, you know, tried to bring him in here, is that this team had been kind of rudderless for a number of years. They didn't have good base, felt like, you know, house built on sand, even when they did have some flashes there. From an organizational perspective and operational perspective, this team feels sturdy right now. Now, I still think, you know, pieces away, probably 2 off seasons away of guys continuing to improve, good off seasons. You know, there's many different missteps that can happen where things can change. But yeah, it feels good. I mean, it's in the end, it's going to come down to the quarterback. But we'll see. I did want to say to David in here as well, he is packing up his house because of the Hurricane Milton coming his way. So if you're out there in Florida, the hurricane intensified rapidly to Category 4, might even reach Category 5 before it reaches landfall there in Florida. So I am not much of the praying type, Scott, but thinking of you and everybody out there in Florida, because this could be a...
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's exactly. So I am thinking of you guys out there, especially with, you know, FEMA and everything stretched thin already, dealing with the West North Carolina Helen fallout. Could be really, really bad. So just sending all the positive vibes and thinking to you guys. And stay safe, David. Truly, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy. Not really a good way to transition off of that. Defense, great game, Scott. We talked about Strnad already. Really excited to see Moss get his first pick 6. I know that overall the QBR and everything in the first half was not good for Bo Nix, but he's shown toughness, resiliency, you know, hasn't been too big for him, hasn't made the huge mistake throwing the football away. I've felt like the turnover-worthy plays have dropped a lot from Nix as well. And something that maybe will be swept under the rug, but just kind of shows the heart and awareness with Bo Nix. That terrible snap from Wattenberg that looked like he was expecting Nix under him, under center, and he's in shotgun. And Nix dives in there and takes a shot from a Raiders defender getting on the ball. But it's little things like that. Your quarterback putting it out there, putting the body on the line. Now, you're supposed to do that, but it doesn't always happen from your quarterback as well. So buy-in, good to see that. And this team's got a little bite to them, and it'll be fun to watch them going forward.
Yeah, looking at the schedule coming up, Chargers at New Orleans, Carolina at home, at Baltimore, at Kansas City. So, you know, we talked about the schedule doesn't get any easier moving forward for this team. That said, the back end of the schedule doesn't look quite as scary either. The Indianapolis Colts, they're in transition. Cleveland looks terrible. Cincinnati looks terrible. And then you never know what you're going to get out of Kansas City in the last week of this schedule either. Are they playing for anything or not?
Yeah. It's hard to say right now what we'll see from the it's five games. It's still a small sample size, right? Things can change dramatically. What were we talking about this
team? Injuries are starting to get a little scary too, like you said, Nick.
On the offensive line, which is an area where you do not want injuries, without a doubt. But we'll see what happens. And we got the Chargers coming up as well. But first, Michael says, great show today. Nick and Scott on Broncos for breakfast. Yeah, we're going to start to wrap it up here because I can hear the baby upstairs. And my voice can't handle much more, obviously, dealing with the sick bug going around here again. But we wasn't going to miss a Victory Monday. Did want to talk a little bit about the Chargers. We talked about it on the last show, Scott. Broncos now going to Chargers. I'm a little bit bummed that they have a bye week to prepare for the Broncos and get a little healthy when Denver starting to get a little banged up. But the Chargers team is banged up too. On paper, you know, Bosa's missed time. Both their tackles have been injuries. Herbert's dealing with an ankle thing. This Chargers defense, on paper, I believe is the number two defense in the NFL right now, according to the advanced stats. That said, who they have played, Scott, is just like, I don't know. But again, this is why who you play matters so much when the sample size is so small. Their first wins, they beat a Raiders team that's pretty bad, as we saw. Denver should have won this game by more than they did. Kind of a fluky big touchdown, a garbage time touchdown late. It was more decisive than the final score indicates. They beat the Panthers game in Bryce Young's final start for the Panthers when he was just absolutely dreadful. And then they lose a game, not even close, against the Steelers, only putting up 10 points. And then play a competitive game against the Chiefs, who, honestly, their offense doesn't look very good overall, now, especially with Rice getting dinged up. So, as Rodney says, you can't sleep on the Chargers, but this is a Chargers team that, based on who they've played, I don't know anything about them other than their defense is competent. Are they great? Their stats look good. The two of the four best defenses in the NFL are the two of the teams that played Bryce Young this season in the Saints and the Chargers. So that's obviously who you play matters.
And the Steelers.
Yeah, and the Steelers.
And then going against the Steelers. The Broncos, and we'll let you get out of here. You know, the Broncos have had the benefit of the Steelers too, but they've also played at Tampa as a very good balanced offense capable of dropping 400 on people. The Chargers got two turnovers and 330 yards against Kansas City. And it looks like, you know, Kansas City came and scored a fourth quarter touchdown, went 17-10.
Yeah, I just don't know what to make of the Chargers. We'll start to turn the page here. Good win for the Broncos. God, those uniforms are great, Scott. I love them so much, the old school. And getting that Raiders monkey off the back in three wins in a row. With the defense, again, those first three drives, the defense looked not good. Gardner Minshew extending drives, the explosive play given up. They're marching down the field. And then after that pick six, the game completely changes. You need your superstar players to step up in moments like that. And boy, howdy, did Sertan do that. What a player. What a game. Good to see Denver win. And good to see so many people in here feeling the good vibes today. It's going to take me forever. Troy, Mark Schrader, Christopher coming in, Ian, Miguel Santisteven, Naj, Michael Ronquillo, Phil McLaughlin, Peter coming in here. Good to see you. James Todd. We got Coach Chris a couple of times. Troy, you guys, absolutely awesome. I mean, gosh, yeah, you guys get the MVP as well as the Broncos showing up here and hanging out with us this morning and dealing with me sounding even more nasally than I normally do. So appreciate you guys coming in. I wouldn't miss this. It was great to see. And I hear that there's some talk about QBR in this game. I don't know what the exact formula is there for QBR.
It throws in rushing too. So three sacks this game.
I also think where the sacks happened.
Yeah, as Bo actually had some drop back passes. He saw some pressure. You know, he's not getting sacked rate doesn't really mean much to me if he's getting the ball and getting rid of it as soon as it hits his hands, which has been a lot of the offense through the first 4 weeks. So that doesn't really impress me. It's like a running back with no carries, not having any fumbles. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of to be expected. So taking three sacks this time, but what comes with more aggressive passing, better passing numbers, which he had in the second half. You're going to get some sacks when you're taking some shots beyond the line of scrimmage, and that's okay.
Yeah. Situationally, I didn't love the one in the first half that took points off the board. But you know, not a perfect game, but overall you have to be encouraged. This was one of those ones where, again, it's a tick on the box. We saw enough there.
I think Crosby was on him so quick after a quick swim over Palcheski that it just surprised him.
Honestly, the one that was killed me was the Quinn Meinerz. The Quinn Meinerz sack was the one that I thought there's no attribution to the quarterback at all. Quinn Meinerz got absolutely away against Christian Wilkins. There was nothing Bo could have done on that one. He was in his face immediately. Meinerz just got, you know, punked on that one. But
we'll let you go. Congratulations to Broncos country. I know it was a long time coming, and frankly, you should be looking for a sweep over the Raiders now that you got this one in your pocket, because I can't picture them improving over the course of the year unless they make a move. We've got a problem in the locker room. Let's clean it out and start over. Even if we have less talent, we'll have better chemistry, because right now they're a disaster.
I mean, I know I got to go, but just the overall team toughness, pulling the same direction. As soon as the Raiders faced adversity in this game, they crumpled like a wet towel. It was over. They had no punch back. The offense totally went into a shell. And the Broncos, Boa constricted them after that. So,
Boa.
Boa Nix, right? We got to get all the Bo puns in there. But appreciate everyone. Make sure you're following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're over at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. Appreciate everyone. Again, good luck, positive vibes, thoughts and prayers, everything to those in Florida. It looks like it could be a really bad one. So football's a distraction. Hopefully we can have everybody in here be healthy and safe and everything. And we'll see you next time. Until then, continue to choose kindness, compassion. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.